Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's good? Thank you so much for tuning into this interview episode of The News Olympian. My name is Mike Schuber. I'm the titular News Olympian, and I'm here with the director of episodes 5, 6, and 8, the finale of season 1 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. It's Jett Wilkinson. Jett, how is it going?
It's going great. Thank you so much. It's been exciting seeing the episodes go to air and everyone enjoying the show so much.
Yeah. At the time of recording this, episode 5 has released, and it is getting much deserved praise. Episode 6 has not yet come out, but I have seen it with my screen. Screener access, and it, I think, will get lots of praise. And then obviously the finale is the finale, and that is just so fantastic. So what is it like for you to be in this situation now where some people have seen it, you're getting some feedback, you know what's to come? How does that feel?
I'm really super excited because, you know, we wrapped on this at the end of 2022, early 23. So it's been a long time coming, and I've been so excited to wait and see myself what all the visual effects look like. I just really was excited for the kids because they worked so hard for so long. I'm so happy to see them getting all the praise that they much deserve.
Yeah. Now, was this your first time working with kid actors primarily in the main roles? I had done some IMDb deep diving.
I'd just come off doing Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Right.
Yeah. So that was all sort of child actors as well. Gordon, who played Aang, was 12 as well at the time. So, I just came fresh off working with child actors. So it was actually great, and I love it so much because they're so open and they're so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
It makes it inspiring and fun for us as well.
Yeah. Something with the enthusiasm. I know Walker wanted to do a lot of stunts. I know he was excited about doing stuff in the water. You had posted something on Instagram where you were in the water. So obviously this is the episode 5 stuff, but like, what was all that like? Did you have to get in the water where you're like, no, I'm going all in on the directing? That just seemed cool.
Yeah. Always all in on the directing. If I ask an actor to do something, then I should sort of get in there with them. I remember way back in like 2005, I asked an actor back home in an Australian TV show called Neighbours. The character was kind of naughty and was wanting to do what we call in Australia a nudie run. Mm-hmm. So he ran around this cafe supposed to be, you know, naked. So it was late at night. It was cold in Melbourne. It was a winter night. So I stripped down to my swimming costume and shot the scene in my swimming costume just so he didn't feel like he was on his own. That was fun. And I just saw how much that meant to him of like, no, I'm in there with them always. And I said to Leah, when you jump out of that boat, I will be there and take after take. Well, not even take after take. We did one take because we really only had one.
Wow.
And they were so awesome. They nailed it. And they knew that we could do it again. But if we had to do it again, it would be many hours for the reset. And they nailed it. I was so proud of them.
That is fantastic. That's so cool. And I'm sure that they felt, you know, safe and secure and motivated because you were there with them. That is very cool. So because you directed 3 episodes and I know things are being filmed in different order, what was that like in terms of, was like just by being on 3, by being maybe filming them out of order, how did that all break down?
We actually shot them in order.
Oh, okay.
I was there from the beginning. All the 3 directors were there from the beginning. And then James left and Anders and I continued on with the show. And Anders went into doing 3 and 4 while I was prepping 5 and 6. And we just sort of tandemed the rest of the show. So it was good for the kids because it was in order. I mean, obviously when you did the 2 episodes together in a block, that's out of order a little bit, but ostensibly it was as in order as it could be. and they did really well.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to determining which episodes you get to direct, is that just completely brought to you? Do you have insight? Were you saying, like, I need the ones with Adam Copeland in it? Or were you saying, I need the ones where they slam large metal objects onto tables? That was a recurring theme I saw in your three episodes.
Honestly, when it comes down to booking directors, it's availability. I was doing Avatar, so I couldn't start any earlier. So I was just really lucky. So the way that the bookings fell really was that I was able to do the finale, which I was stoked about. It was really exciting. And in terms of Adam, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation unto itself because he is awesome. But that was just a luck again because we cast him, you know, once we got, you know, closer to those episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So stuff about episode 5, I loved it. It's so fantastic. I really appreciated the diner food, the pile of cheeseburgers, the mountain of fries. Just a related question. If you're going to a diner, what's your go-to order? What is your, I got to get this food in
me? Oh, yeah. I mean, I love hamburgers, fries, all that good stuff, all the naughty stuff. I love a good fried chicken, you know. So it was tempting, but then not tempting because, you know, those burgers were sitting there for a long time. But, of course, our art department and props department and food department just had them on tap. There were so many burgers that they were constantly refreshing. So they did a great job.
That's great. Now, I think something that is probably going to be one of, if not the most memorable moments from episode 5 is the Tunnel of Love. What is love? Needle drop. Was that a thing that was brought to you? Did you come up with that? What is the origin story of that? Because tears were streaming down my face. It was such a good moment.
I wish I could take credit for that because tears were streaming down my face when I first read it. That is John Steinberg. Honestly, it's so nice to have the feedback having done these episodes, but truly it's such a team, full collaborative effort that, you know, from the scripts through to the execution, there are so many people involved in all the decision making. And honestly, that song was John and the clearance department making that happen. I thought it was funny because it was so a song I used to, because I am the generation of parents almost now. So when he said he heard it in his orthodontist office or his dentist office, I thought that was so funny because I used to listen to that at clubs, you know, so it made me laugh.
Yeah. Last night I was walking by a vintage clothing store, and I'm 31 for context, and it said clothes from 80s, 90s and Y2K. And I was like, oh no.
Yes.
Oh no, that's vintage now.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Yes, I'm now vintage, way vintage, more vintage than you. But yeah, that Tunnel of Love sequence was out of this world. It was funny because a lot of the stuff we were doing on Zoom at the time, and I was doing Zooms from home, so my partner heard that song over and over and over and over again when we were looking at different cuts. But yeah, the Tunnel of Love was all done on stage. You know, that boat didn't ever move.
Oh, wow.
So that boat was on a volume stage. We had they built a big sort of tank of water, you know, inside the volume. And they just put the boat in the middle, and then the volume moved around it on the LED screens. It was a phenomenal sight to behold. I've never worked on something like this before that's been so detailed and rich and powerful with its production and its production design. It's phenomenal.
That's really cool. It seems like a fun thing to work with. Now, when you are working in episode 5, and also in some of the other ones, there's a lot of scenes where Percy is wet, whether that's his hair, his clothes, everything. Is that something, as a director, are you ever behind the camera and you're like, wait a second, his clothes aren't wet enough, and then you gotta like hose walk her down?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's so funny because we shot the arch scene. It was a pre-shoot actually in the summer. I'm not sure why we did that. I think it was because of a location. I can't even remember, it's so long ago now. But he just kept getting dry because he was on a wire when he came out. He was literally sort of on the other side of the fence. We hosed him. He jumped over the side. He did the scene. And then literally between takes, he would dry off. And we just had people with hoses just hosing him down and then spritzing his face. He was such a good sport about it too. He never complained. He always went in full throttle.
That's great. That's great. Something that this is just like a directorial question that I have, and I guess it makes sense that you said everyone was kind of working together as a team, because it still feels pretty thematically similar throughout each of the episodes. And one thing I find interesting is that sometimes when you cut from scene to scene, it's just like a jump cut. And then other times it's more of like a fade to black, pause for a second, right, and then pick up a new scene.
Right.
How do you decide what is a cut? What has a pause? Are you making those decisions? What goes into it?
I think it's about pacing and, you know, the emotional beat and the emotional button on a scene. And I think that comes a lot in, again, in the writing and the script, but also in the editing when you're watching it back. You know, things, you know, even in an edit takes a very long time. I have a director's cut, but then there's a producer's cut and a network cut. Like, there's a lot of cuts and a lot of people who see this and contribute to the rhythm. So I think there was a lot of, you know, finessing as time went on. So there's lots of different beats in there that could be something that I did or something that, you know, John and Dan did, but it's always servicing the rhythm and the beat of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any sort of little tiny behind the scenes thing that someone might not have noticed, whether it's big or small or like, hey, fun fact, was there anything that would be a fun little like takeaway for folks at home that they wouldn't predict?
Oh, I mean, some of the things are sort of a kind of could be super boring, but, you know, I'm not sure what's exciting, but like, you know, they're more sort of production things of like, you know, that silly shot of the bell when they come through the door and the bell, like the amount of time and people it took to get that bell shot. I took photos because it was like, there was like eight guys standing around analyzing this bell and the size of the shot of the bell and where the bell should go. I just think it's so funny that we put so much thought into everything. That's why I'm so happy that people are enjoying it, because the decisions to make for some things just takes longer than you would ever think, like that shot of the bell. And the bell looks great, but I will never forget that it was like the last shot. It was late at night, but we still cared so much about what that bell looked like. And then another thing in the Aries conversation, like, we didn't get everything on the first day, and we were trying not to do stuff around the table on the second day because we had so much other stuff to do. But I said, we just need to get this shot. And so I said to Adam, listen, we're going to do the shot. You won't be on camera, you know, so you don't need to redo all your big, long speech. You know, it was like a 6-page scene. He goes, okay, no worries. And so, but then when I came back, the DP put a camera on Adam. And he said, oh, well, I've got the camera. I may as well just do it and get him again. I was like, oh my gosh, I told Adam we didn't. So I went up to Adam and said, Adam, I'm so sorry. We are going to film you doing this scene again. And I was so scared because I thought he'd be upset because it's a 6-page scene. And he was like, sure, no problem. Let me just have a quick look at it. No worries. And he did it all again for me in close up. And that type of stuff stays with me because we used some of those shots and he was so cool about it. I mean, obviously, you know, actors should come always prepared, but at the same time, he thought he'd finished the scene. I told him we weren't going to shoot it again, but he was up for it. He did a great job and we were so thankful, and it just made such a difference to the vibe on set. You know what I mean? Everyone was just like, oh, this guy is cool. Like, he's great at his job. He's kind, he's open, and he's fun. Like, it's just makes a big difference. That's why I think the Percy Jackson vibe is positive, because the whole experience was one of the best experiences of my life.
Amazing. Amazing. I have one final question that is not Percy Jackson related, but I had spent some time in Australia. I had tried all the different flavors of Tim Tams. I want to get your authority opinion. What is the definitive best variety of Tim Tam?
The best Tim Tam is the original Tim Tam for me.
Okay.
The absolute original. It's just a milk chocolate. I mean, I do love a bit of dark chocolate now as I get older, but yeah, no, I don't know if many Australians really love cherry Tim Tams and mint Tim Tams. You just got to do the OG. It's just milk chocolate Tim Tams all the way. The OG original one, like nothing fancy, just put it in milk.
Not the double coat, just the original?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. A classic, a truest, pure and pure.
Purest.
Jet, thank you so much for joining.
You're welcome.
This has been a delight. The episodes are so fantastic. Congratulations. And I'm sure that the praise for episode 6 and 8 will be as great as it was for episode 5, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
So
thank you so
congratulations
much
to you and the team. And thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, wasn't that just a lovely interview with a lovely person? Such a good time. It was even so good that at the end, I said a truest, pure and pure, instead of a purist, true and true, or through and through. I don't know. I had a good time, and I hope you enjoyed listening to this interview. There will be audio from this interview to come in the future, where Jet answers questions that I had about episodes 6 and 8, but obviously I can't post those now because those episodes haven't come out yet, and not only would that be spoilers, but also Disney would get mad at me, and as you all know, one of my main goals in life is just to not feel the wrath of the mouse, so those will be posted in the future. but I just wanted to post all of the episode 5 stuff as soon as possible. Jet was kind enough to take the time to speak with me while on break directing something else. I'm not sure what Jet was working on, but they had a free 30 minutes in between shoots, I guess, and just took the call from their phone with their AirPods in and did the call from some field at some place where they were shooting something. It was great and fantastic, and I had a really fun time doing this interview, and you will hear some fun answers to other questions that I had about the other episodes that they directed in the future. So thank you, Jet. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you listening to this episode. I also want to give some appreciation to folks who have joined our Patreon recently over at thenewsolympian.com/Patreon. If you go to thenewsolympian.com/Patreon, you can get bonus audio, you can get ad-free episodes, you can get director's commentary, bonus episodes. I just posted one where I did a review, a video bonus episode of all of the covers that are out there for The Last Olympian. So I've done stuff like that. And there's director's commentary that gives behind the scenes about some of the things that I've been up to recently. So I want to thank the folks who have joined the Patreon most recently. So shout out to our newest Ultra God Tier patron, Anne M. Thayer Cohen. Shout out to our newest God Tier patrons, James Johnston, Maddie Shepard, Ava Hess, Merlot Franzia, Gabrielle Poma, and Joy Mayfield Stewart. And shout out to our newest Demigod Tier patrons, Emily Swodoba, Haley Palm, Stephanie Walton, Man of History, Michael Rowe, Aaron Loves Tacos, Bookish Code, Heather Bourne, Elva Tang, Mackenzie Ellis Barnett, Devashree Shaw, Jordan, Those Damn Pigeons, Lilia, Leon Leanders, Henna Mason, Panda McThunder, aka Joe, and Kirsten Simmons. Thank you all so much for your support. May Poseidon bless you that if you are ever taking an aquatic means of transit, that bad sea activity and wind never delays your boat. Did that happen to me recently? Who's to say? I appreciate the support from everyone who has supported on Patreon, and I appreciate the support of you, the listener, for just listening to this, especially this being a bonus episode. We will have a new full episode of The Newest Olympian up Wednesday morning. That will be about episode 6 of the TV show, and our guests will be the folks from Monster Donut. But until you hear that episode, I'll see you later. This episode of The Newest Olympian is brought to you by Quince. Let's say you wanted to go to the Lotus Casino and you really wanted to show out. You wanted to look great. You wanted some new, fresh clothes, but you didn't want to spend a whole bunch of money doing so, but you still wanted to look really nice. Where could you get your clothes? You could get them from Quince. Quince has timeless essentials that never go out of style, which is perfect if you're at the Lotus Casino since you will be there forever, and you'll have these clothes in your closet forever. They have a bunch of must-have items such as 100% Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $59, and I gotta say, I recently got one of those sweaters and it's really nice. I'm just gonna be straight up here. Quince, because they are a sponsor, they gave me a coupon code to try out some clothes, and I absolutely love a shirt jacket that I got, and I really have enjoyed wearing it all the time. I liked it so much that I bought this cashmere crew neck sweater with my own money just because I liked the Quince stuff. It's so fantastic. I keep wearing these clothes all the time. I cannot recommend them enough. And the best part about all of this is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings along to you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. What is not to love? Truly, no joke, I have sweaters that cost far more than the stuff I have from Quince, and I like the stuff from Quince so much more. I've been wearing it much more frequently. If you want to upgrade your closet with Quince, go to quince.com/newestolympian for free shipping and 365-day returns on your order. That's quince.com/newestolympian to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/newestolympian so that you can look fresh and timeless for the infinite time you will spend in the Lotus Casino today. This episode of The Newest Olympian is brought to you by Arena Club. Now, if you listen to this podcast, it should be no secret that I am both a sports nerd and more of a traditional nerd. And when you think of these two types of nerddom, there's one thing that links them together, and that is card collecting. Whether you are looking to buy, trade, sell, or display a card collection of sports cards or Pokemon cards, you should check out Arena Club. ArenaClub.com is the place where you can do all of these things. I have recently made a
purchase on the marketplace. I got Lieutenant Surge's Raichu, which is my favorite Pokemon, and I didn't even know that there was a Lieutenant Surge version of the Raichu. So that is a card that I now have, and it's not just some digital thing. I can have this card physically mailed to me. So there's a bunch of cool stuff you can do with Arena Club, including their slab packs. If you have ever done any sort of card collecting, you know that ripping packs or repacks can be a zero transparency type of thing where you're just hoping you get some sort of cool card. But what's nice about the slab packs with Arena Club is that you have full transparency. You see what available cards are there, what your percentage of getting them is, what the gradings are. So it is not a complete black box. You're going into this knowing what cards you might get. And I've been using Arena Club and it's pretty cool. It's very easy for me to look up different cards. I can favorite them, see what I want. And then whenever I want them shipped to me, I can get them shipped to me. And then I'll have the physical versions of them. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/TNO. Wow, that's a wild offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack? That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/TNO for 10% off your first purchase. So if you want to collect some cards or rip open some packs in a more transparent way, whether you're a sports nerd or a Pokemon nerd or all sorts of nerds like me, you can use Arena Club today.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The News Olympian. This podcast is created, hosted, and produced by me, Mike Schuber. I also run the social media and the website. Our editor is normally Sherry Guo, but I've been editing these bonus episodes. And the music is by Bettina Campomanes and Brandon Grugel, and the art is by Jessica E. Boyd. If you are enjoying the show and you can't get enough of it, well, don't worry. There's a bunch of other ways you can get involved with the show. You can find us on social media at Newest Olympian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find the Patreon at thenewsolympian.com/Patreon, where you can get access to the Discord, even more fun community stuff. We also have a subreddit, reddit.com/r/thenewsolympian. You can go to thenewsolympian.com/live to see if we're coming to a city near you for a live show. And you can go to thenewsolympian.com/merch to get cool merchandise from the show to rep your favorite Percy Jackson pod. If you want to help out the show in a non-monetary way, just spreading it via word of mouth is super helpful, whether you talk to someone in person, whether you message someone who you think would like the show, or if you post about it on social media. That could be tweeting about the show, sharing you listening to the show on Instagram stories, sending a pic and tagging me of you watching the TV show, whatever your home watching setup is, whatever it is, just spreading the existence of the show via word of mouth really does help the podcast a lot. So if you do that, thank you very much. I hope you have enjoyed this, and I hope you will enjoy our episode coming soon. As I said, it'll be about episode 6 of the TV show, and we'll be joined by Emily and Phoebe for Monster Donut. But until you hear that episode, I will see you later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.